Let's Talk About, a podcast by the University of Vienna.
Hello and welcome to this episode of our podcast. My name is Ina Hahn and I work for the Research Services. With this podcast, we would like to inform researchers about funding opportunities, make services in this area more visible, and provide insights and advice. Let's talk about the Erwin Schrödinger Fellowship today. This program is funded by the Austrian Science Fund, FWF, and I've invited Mero Pizanitakis, who is a Schrödinger Fellow herself. Welcome, and thank you very much for being my guest on this episode.
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'd like to very shortly introduce the program before discussing your personal experiences with it. The target group of the Schrödinger Fellowship are postdocs, and the program supports them with going abroad and conducting independent research at leading research institutions. And after this research phase abroad, you return to an Austrian research institution, and this return phase aims at transferring the know-how acquired abroad back to Austria. All right, I will give you some more information on the Schrödinger Fellowship at the end of this episode, but let's now talk about it from a more personal view. So, Mero Pizanitakis, your background is political science and you obtained your PhD from the University of Vienna, and you have started your Schrödinger Fellowship in November 2017, so it is already slowly coming to an end. And from what I've read on your website, your field of research is a very interesting one, and also one that at least I didn't really associate with political science. So maybe could you tell us a bit about your research focus, especially what you're working on within the Erwin Schrödinger project?
Yes, of course. So my research field is about, I'm examining, analyzing crypto markets, which are operating on the dark net. And crypto markets are actually platforms located on the dark net, which in which you can distribute all sorts of illicit drugs, among other legal products, like, for example, sunglasses or sneakers. And you can also, on some platforms, you can also buy weapons. So, and the darknet itself is a hidden part of the internet, which you can access only by using particular anonymizing software, like the Tor browser, for example. So what's particular and different in contrast to offline or physical illegal drug markets is that the actors, the market actors, don't really know each other, and there is no possibility of establishing interpersonal trust, for example. And the main question of my research project is, if the actors don't know each other, with which socio-technical practices are they able to establish market relations? How do they actually come up to exchange drugs in an environment where you can't be sure if your exchange partner is police or is a drug dealer? So I have been looking from a methodological point of view with the digital ethnography. So I have been observing the different marketplaces, the platforms, the forums, interactions of the market actors on the forums. And I've also conducted anonymous online interviews with market actors in order to find with which solutions the market actors allow to establish trust among each other. How do they assess and assign the value of the different drugs traded, and how do the actors and platforms compete among each other?
Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting. Yeah, thank you for this first impression of your work.
Sure.
And why did you decide to apply for the Schrödinger Fellowship? And what does it mean for your scientific career to be a Schrödinger Fellow?
Well, at this point of my postdoc phase, I actually was looking for a research funding program that allows me to to do more research in that particular field, which is still and by then was even more recent and a very new phenomenon. It only started like half a decade ago. So we didn't know much about what was going on this digital environment, and I wanted to know more about it. And actually, there were just a couple of researchers all over the world which were doing research in that particular field. So I was looking for a program that could support me to do research and in order to develop an understanding of how market actors coordinate their activities. And because I was the only one doing research in that field in Austria, it was very clear for me that I had to work with international researchers. So it was the obvious decision that I had to go abroad in order to establish this research field also in Austria.
Yeah.
And the Schrödinger program was by that time the only option for me, the only possibility to actually go abroad and work with different experts in the field and then come back to Austria again.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned previously, of course, I'm now in the return phase, which is ending of my Schrödinger fellowship.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as you mentioned, it was very important for you to go abroad. Because the like expertise on the topic you were interested in was more abroad. And how did you choose the research institutions where you conducted your research abroad? And why did you choose exactly these research institutions?
So my approach towards this field of research is actually an interdisciplinary one. So it is at the intersection of political science, sociology, and criminology. Criminology is in the Anglo-Saxon countries is more closer towards sociology in contrast to Austria and Germany, for example. So I was interested to work together with experts in the field of illegal drug markets. And at the beginning, I was thinking about maybe going to the US, but then I decided against it and I wanted to stay in Europe. And I chose something which is not happening very often. I chose to work together with two different research institutions, because it seemed that both professors at each institution would allow me to develop a certain aspect of my project in a different, in a complementary way.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided and I approached Sveinung Sandberg at the Department of Criminology and Sociology of Law at the University of Oslo to work together in the first year to develop the theoretical background of the approach. And then in my second year of the Schrödinger Fellowship, I moved to the University of Essex, where I collaborated with Professor Nigel South of the Department of Sociology. And in my third year now, I have been coming back to the Department of Political Science, where I also graduated, as you mentioned previously, and I finished my doctoral thesis at this department, to work on also complementary political scientific aspects, more of the governance aspects towards crypto markets for drugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, as we've mentioned now already, your Schrödinger Fellowship is already coming to an end, but let's look back at the beginning of it. It all started with the application, of course. How long did you work on the application and how long did you have to wait for the funding decision? Do you still remember that?
Yeah, I think I worked a lot, very intensively, and I was working for about 6 months on the application. As far as I remember, there is no particular submission deadline, so you can submit whenever you want, but there are about 5 board meetings per year, and I was aiming at one particular board meeting so that it would fit my time planning. And I think the funding decision took about 4 to 5 months, which is a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because each application has to be reviewed by international experts in the field. And then there is a board meeting at the FWF deciding which of the applications should be funded or not.
Yeah, that's right. So you said you took like 6 months for the application and another 5 months you waited for the decision from FWF. So it's almost 1 year that you, like from the start of your application until you could start your fellowship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. And you're right. Like applications can be submitted continuously. So there are no calls or deadlines, but it is already a good advice to have these board meetings in mind. And maybe aim at one with your application. And what challenges did you face in the application process? Was it the first proposal you wrote as an independent researcher?
Actually, not really. Before I started my Erwin Schrödinger Fellowship, I was working for the Wiener Center for Societal Security, which is a private research institution where part of my daily work was to write applications mostly for EU-funded projects. So I had a lot of experience with writing EU-funded projects,
mm-hmm.
For like huge collaborative projects with about, I don't know, 13 partners in 10 different countries. But it is a very different scheme if you write an application for your own funding. It's a very different approach. So I had to learn that. And I think it was the second application for an individual fellowship that I submitted. And luckily, it was funded as well.
Mm-hmm. And what do you wish you had known before writing the proposal?
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's a long time ago since I did write, it's a couple of years ago since I did write that particular application. And since then, I have been writing and I have been submitting a couple of others as well, of course. So writing applications, it's like the research process itself. The more often you do it, the more you develop certain skills, the more you realize what is important, where your strengths are, where you need more support. For example, one advice that I could give anyone interested to submit an application for the Schrödinger Fellowship is to get in touch with fellows who have been granted the Schrödinger Fellowship previously, ideally not too long ago, and talk with them, read through their applications, read through successful applications in similar research fields or within your own department, and also try to get friendly feedback from more experienced colleagues,
mm-hmm.
or senior researchers. This is also super helpful, and take the feedback seriously, because when you write an application, you are the expert in the field, but the difficulty is to translate your knowledge in a way and to put it down into words that others can understand it as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's an important step in the writing of every proposal, to make sure that it's understandable.
Yes, and also that you should try to develop a research question out of the state of art, and then with which theoretical approach do you want to address the research question, and how do you want to operationalize your research question? With which methods are you planning to address it? If this is the case, if you're going to do empirical work. So, and this is something where others, you have the inside perspective, but you also need the outside perspective. And
mm-hmm.
your colleagues and friends that are also close to the academia can help you to further develop those aspects and to clarify some of the questions that reviewers might address as well.
Yeah, and you already mentioned that it's always important to find out what is important for the proposal. So what do you think are the most important things to consider when writing an application for an Erwin Schrödinger project, specifically for this program?
Well, since it is a program aiming to gain research experience abroad during the postdoc phase, I think one of the trickiest things is the timing. You have to try to find a research institution, a host that is willing to invite you. It might be the case that your first priority doesn't have the time, does have too many other obligations and can't invite you, so you need to have a plan B. And all of this takes time. And also my advice would be read through the application guidelines very carefully, try to fit your application to the aims of the program. That's also important. You need a lot of signatures with every application. Here again, time is relevant. Consider that you might have to wait to get the signatures. Then I would advise you check if the stipend covers the average living costs per month in that particular country or region. To get that knowledge, you could talk to fellows that have already had a research stay in that country. Because, for example, my research stay was at the University of Oslo, and as you can imagine, the average living costs in Norway are much higher than in Austria.
Mm.
So this is something I was not aware. I didn't think about it at all before.
Yeah.
That's more practical aspect, but it might also be the season, for example. When do you plan to start your fellowship? Does it fit with the term dates? Is your host professor available during this date? These are also aspects that you should coordinate with your host institution and in particular your guest professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, I don't know, like research culture or the work ethics or work culture at the research institutions where you go might be very different than what you're used to from Austria.
I think it's always advisable to get in touch with previous Schrödinger fellows who have been living and working in that particular country to get to familiarize with yourself with the conditions in that country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that are really good points. So that was already a lot of advice. Do you have any other tips for future applicants, or is there anything else you would like to add?
So one experience that I would like to share with you, the ones who are listening, is that actually I am very lucky and fortunate to have made the experience of going abroad to learn at two different research institutions how academic culture works, to work together with experts in the field, professors who also act as mentors in a certain way, and to establish international contacts which will be useful for my future research as well. So this is a fantastic experience and I can highly recommend the Schrödinger Fellowship. I know that many PhD researchers and also postdoc researchers would prefer to stay in Austria, especially if you have family, friends, partners living in Austria. Anyway, regardless of that, it is a really very enriching experience academically and also socially to go abroad and come back with the rich knowledges in various fields that you have gained through this experience to come back to Austria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually there is also like part of the stipend can also be support for children that you might have or partners that come with you.
Yes, this is a fantastic support the FWF provides.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else?
I think I have two more tips. One is, in order to find an appropriate host professor, you can, for example, make use of the contacts that you have established on research conferences. Also, if you have visiting researchers coming from other countries at your department and are working on similar topics, or if academics are giving a guest talk at your department, for example, this is also a good way of getting in touch with possible host professors.
Mm-hmm.
Another advice that I can give you is how to handle rejections. So actually, rejections are a part of third-party funding. It doesn't work without rejections. And every rejection, every review, every feedback you get helps you to further develop your ideas, your application, your project idea. So my advice is to use it in the best way, revise your application and resubmit it. Don't be too disappointed with a rejection. It can happen. I think it happens to everyone who has submitted a couple of third-party funded project applications, but don't let those rejections define your future in academia.
Yeah, don't let them stop you.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much for sharing your experience and the insights you let us have. I think that this first-hand information is really useful and helpful for anyone interested in a Schrödinger fellowship, and maybe it's also a first step for people who don't know anybody who already had a Schrödinger fellowship, but who at least could listen to your experiences now on this podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was really a pleasure to share my experiences with you. And I hope this is also motivating you to submit an Erwin Schrödinger fellowship application to the FWF.
Great. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So after this very interesting talk to Merubits and Itakis, as promised, I will give you some more information on the fellowship. We've mentioned in the interview that applications can be submitted continuously. There are no calls or deadlines. And the length of the fellowship can be 10 to 24 months abroad. And the return phase can last a maximum of 12 months, depending on the duration of the time spent abroad. So the longer you were abroad, the longer your return phase can last. For the application, you also need an invitation sent to you by the host institution. And you also have to prove that you have the possibility to return to an Austrian research institution after your stay abroad. Budget-wise, you receive a tax-free fellowship, the amount of which is determined by your chosen destination. And for the return phase, you get a senior postdoc salary plus project-specific costs up to 12,000 euro per year. Yeah, the guidelines of the program, of course, provide a lot more additional information, especially on requirements regarding the territoriality principle and the scientific record you have to prove for being eligible. So if you're interested in applying for a Schrödinger Fellowship, please read the FWF's guidelines. And of course, you can always contact me or my colleagues from the research service. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Check out the show notes for links to Merubits and Itakis' website and the FWF. And yeah, contact us at the research service in case you have any questions about the Schrödinger Fellowship, or also if you'd like to let us know how you like this episode. Thank you and have a nice day.